Well, I'm excited today to have somebody very special in the studio. He's a pianist and he's a singer, and boy, he's been around. We've got a lot of good stories today, I'm sure. John Shea is with us today. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Keith.
John, I'd love it if you could just start with one of your tunes.
Okay, yeah. This is a tune I wrote for a bass player named Shawn Summer. S-H-A-W-N-S-O-M-M-E-R.
That's right.
Funny spelling for his name, but...
My good buddy.
He was only 20 when he played with me at Billy's Boathouse at Saugatuck, but on a good night, he sounded like he was 42. So I wrote this song for him. It's called Shawn's Blues. That's how that goes, kind of.
It's really fun to hear you play solo.
I never do it.
Usually I hear you in a trio, or sometimes I get the chance to play with you in a trio, and it's really fun to just hear you totally exposed. And
Yeah, it's, you know, it makes it, there's no lying. You can't lie about it, right?
Here it is.
Usually I just do rubato introductions.
Right.
You know? It reminds me of Benny Carew, because I had never done a rubato introduction until I met Benny Carew. That's how young I was. I started the introduction to some ballad in tempo, and he said, "Stop." He says, "You have all the time in the world." He said, "Take your time. There is no tempo." I went, "Really?"
Well, yeah. So let's jump into that. I know you played with Benny Carew, and I was really looking forward to hearing you share about him today, because we haven't really talked about him. Previous. So I really want to hear about how you connected with Benny Carew. And a lot of people probably don't know who Benny Carew is at this point.
Yes, at this point.
So yeah. Tell us about Benny Carew and when that happened. And
okay. What that was like. So the reason I love Kalamazoo is I met Benny Carew in Kalamazoo. I was in a Dixieland band in Battle Creek. At Staley's Lounge, called the New Superior Jazz Band. And our clarinet player, Bob Harrison, was a fan of Benny. Benny was playing at Benny's Backstage Lounge at the Hilton. It's the Radisson now. So he was a big success upstairs. They moved him to street level and named the room after him. So he was there with a trio with Johnny O'Neill. Now, you know Johnny.
Johnny, the great piano
right.
player.
Sounds just like Oscar Peterson.
Yes.
So Bob Harrison was going to hear Benny. So after Johnny was Mark Marino. I knew his sister Barb Marino from Battle Creek Civic Theater. She ended up on Broadway. Anyway, Bob is going to hear Benny on weekends. He calls me at my dad's house, the 234 Eden in Battle Creek, and says, John, you got to get down here. Benny Caruso's losing his piano player. Mark Marino's quitting. He met a girl, and he's moving to Florida. You got to come audition for Benny. And so I came down there. And he claims that he hired me because I knew the bridge was a sophisticated lady. And I found out afterwards that Johnny didn't. Johnny just faked his way through the melody to the bridge of a sophisticated lady, but he never had taken the time to learn it. And Benny was impressed by the fact that I took the time to learn it.
That one tune sealed the deal, huh?
Pretty much. I mean, I started to go to hear him for like a month, and he gave me some Eddie Russ cassettes, who was a piano player that preceded me, so I could get an idea of what he wanted. And so Benny was in Kalamazoo at that time. So we were playing 5 nights a week at the Hilton. And we played twice on Friday. We had a matinee. And then at, let's say, we'd play 4:30 to 6:30. We'd break for an hour for dinner. So we'd go down the street to, next to the Whistle Stop was a place called the Sly Fox. And there was a duo there named Josh and Kelly. It was J-O-S-S. Josh Windy was from Belgium. So we get done, Benny would go into the coat room, get out a little cologne, splash it on his face. We go down the street near Josh and Kelly. And so Josh could play like Art Tatum, but in Earl Gardner, he'd do these three-finger 88-key runs and stuff. So he was a comedian, too. He could juggle and do somersaults, and he did voices like Boris Karloff. So his bass player, Kelly Stitt, played electric bass, and she was totally deadpan, just like Keeley Smith. You know, Louis Prima's wife was like, never cracked a smile. Well, Kelly was like that. She just put her head down with a frown on her face and played electric bass. So on the break, I looked at the music stand, and instead of manuscript paper, there was just a piece of paper with letters on it. It would say, like, you know, Misty, and it would say, E-flat, E-flat, E-flat. B-flat, B-flat, B-flat. Just a row of letters of the alphabet. It was so hilarious. It was just proof that all music is played by ear.
Yeah.
Because that sure wasn't cheap music.
Wow.
So anyway, we started there.
So there's a lot of Kalamazoo history here and Battle Creek. So the Whistle Stop is right on the train tracks down there.
Exactly.
On Michigan. What is there now? Is it the Arcus
Foundation? We played it
Foundation
with a big band in there.
Or Arcus? It's across the street from where Food Dance is.
Is
As
it a bar
As you're going
still?
Out of town. No, there's a building there, but it's on the right side across the street from Food Dance, I believe.
Yeah.
That was the Whistle Stop.
Yeah, we used to play with a big band there, the Battle Creek Jazz Ensemble.
Right.
Gary Talinger's band.
I've heard a lot of stories of the Whistle Stop being the place.
It was a hot bar. It was a hot spot, and we had a big band in there, and Roger Newkirk played guitar. Willie Brown played tenor.
I remember all those guys.
Do you know those guys?
From the Battle Creek Jazz Ensemble, yeah.
Yeah, I used to be scared of Roger because he never talked.
Yes.
And he looked kind of mean. And I knew he was a Vietnam vet, so I knew he'd killed people.
Oh, no. Well, you know, I was a kid. I was in high
right.
school, and I was following around the Battle Creek Jazz Ensemble because at the time I was studying drums with Larry Ogletree, who was playing in the band.
Wow.
So
I would
go watch Larry with my friends, and Willie Brown would be playing tenor, and a bunch of
mercy,
guys.
Mercy, mercy.
Yeah, a bunch of guys would be playing in that band that I would, you know, I think Harry Bosch was in that band at
Harry
the time.
Bosch? Yeah, and Darris Deal.
Who's that?
Darris Deal was an old black guy that played great alto.
Okay.
Harold Wilkerson was one of our trumpet players. He had played with Duke.
Wow.
And we played A-Train. You could tell he played with Duke.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how good he was. And so I was so blessed. This was a great band. This is Dick Day.
Yeah, I
played
remember
alto.
Dick Day. Sure.
I guess Steros played tenor,
wow.
too. But our drummer was Jeff Wagnitz.
Okay.
And you would have loved him. because he played big band and trio equally well. Mm. And in a big band, he'd have all these colors. I've always thought a drum set is just like being a painter anyway, because, you know, those they're like canvases. Your drum heads are like a canvas, and the cymbals are like colors, and the brushes actually are like paintbrushes, you know. So yeah. Jeff had like the tree with the chimes in the tree.
Okay.
And all these other things are like a big gong or something. But he used them all with taste and all at the perfect time, you know.
Mm.
And so we could do a whole show on great drummers I've played with. And you'd be right at the top of the list.
I don't know about that.
Or another show on great drummers I've heard.
Yeah.
You could do a show on that for like 5 hours.
Yeah, we all could. So back to Benny Carew.
Yeah.
A great drummer.
Yeah.
And where was Benny from?
He wasn't from Michigan, but he started really young as a tap dancer. And by the late 40s, he was playing on Division Avenue in Grand Rapids. The okay. Russo family, who was a wine family, they had a hotel bar. And I have an ad, Benny Carew Quartet, and it's like 1948. That's how far back Benny went in Grand Rapids. So when we returned to Grand Rapids, it was a homecoming. What happened is he left town, and he became real successful up in Traverse City. I ended up there with Benny, too. And then Cabaret Fay, he played the ski lodges. And then he ended up in Kalamazoo, and he was a big success there. So that's why I was able to join him there.
Wow. So, gosh, we've been all over the Michigan already. So you're from Battle Creek originally.
I am.
And you went to, what school was it?
Well, I went to Washington first.
Okay.
So when I started piano lessons in fourth grade, I was in Washington for fourth and fifth grade. And then my first standing ovation was in sixth grade. I was in Verona by then.
Okay.
And at a PTA meeting, though, I had a medley of Strauss waltzes, and I got a standing ovation. So I thought, that's it. I'm never quitting.
Yeah.
Because then Miss Dooley wanted me to play for a choir. And then in seventh grade at W.K. Kellogg, Jan Hirschmink let me accompany her choir. So then you're never going to stop. Well, by ninth grade, then I was playing professionally. I started playing shows at Civic Theater. Battle Creek Civic Theater.
Okay.
So my first show was Fiddler. And I was conducted at rehearsals, every rehearsal in the pit by William Stein, the conductor of the Battle Creek Symphony.
Wow.
So I learned how to work with a baton when I was 15. What a great life.
Yeah.
What a great education. And I saw him years later and thanked him again, you know, for letting me learn that. And he said, well, I was impressed by that show, but more impressed by the fact that your second show was Bernstein's Mass. The Battle Creek Symphony did Bernstein's Mass, and I played, you know, accompaniment for that. I don't know how I did it, but apparently I did. But anyway, yeah, Battle Creek was my start. I really started in Dixieland. And that's a great start for jazz. Well, these guys were half swing, too. They played a lot of standards, not just Dixieland tunes.
This is the New Superior Jazz Band.
Yeah?
And who played drums in that band?
Okay, there's the other thing. Great drummers I've played with. He's the first one. Jim Hampton.
Okay.
He worked at the Federal Center with my dad. My dad was the personnel director at the Federal Center. And every time Jim would see my dad, he'd thank him. Thank you, Mr. Shea, for giving me a job. That happened all the time.
Wow.
Anyway, Jim Hampton had played with Fats Waller. When he was 18 years old, he played a week with the Fats Waller Band in downtown New Orleans at the Young Hotel. And the guys took him out the second day and bought him new cymbals, helped him pick them out. And at the end of the week, Fats Waller went up to him and said, kid, you got a good foot. And he was riding on heavenly clouds for the rest of his life. I used to think he had a bad drinking problem because his eyes were always glassy. Huh. But it turned out he was diabetic. But I learned so much from him because he pulled me aside. Here I'm 18 or whatever. And he pulled me aside, came here, he said, John, he said, whenever you get a chance to play live with a band, he says, I don't care whether it's polka, country band, rock band, just say yes. And he lived it. I heard him play with a couple of rock bands. But he had like an invisible glass bubble around him, and he was the happiest man in the world because he was playing time on the right cymbal.
Yeah, that's a real lesson for young players, right? I mean, sometimes, you know,
they get too picky.
Yeah, and they'll feel like they're entitled, or I should only play
in a jazz band.
But man, there's so much, such a great value in playing in all different types of groups and being able to, first of all, but meeting people.
That's a whole nother show, is jazz sayings, or people that have helped me. Like I remember I was lucky because in Battle Creek, my best friend was a bass player, Dick Nelson. His dad was a jazz pianist. His name was Bob Nelson. And he played in, you know, even Battle Creek was a swinging town after the war, like in the 50s and the 60s, and Bob played. There was a bunch of bars in downtown that had combos. Anyway, when I was like 16 or 17, Bob Nelson, who was a great pianist, just said, "John, you know, all you need is experience." I went, "Really?" And it is true. When you're young, that's the one thing you need more than anything. So if you can get any way you can, every time you can, get experience in any way you can, it'll pay off.
That's right.
And you tell your kids that, I'm sure.
Yep.
How many classes of kids have you trained and sent out into the world by this time, Keith?
A few.
It's beyond counting. it's beyond counting.
Yes.
But it's a great feeling.
Yeah, it's
I'm proud of all the guys through the years. Imagine how many guys I've hired, bass players and drummers.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get back to some more music. Oh. I mean, there are so many stories, and my brain is going in a million directions now every time you mention somebody's name. So
right.
This may be a John Shea series. We'll see.
We'll have to do 5 hours.
We'll see. But what would you like to play next, John?
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'll play this. This is song from my first recording. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do. I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why you just do. You never seem to want my romance. The only time you hold me is when I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do. Baby, won't you please come home? 'Cause your daddy's all alone. I have tried in vain. Never no more to call your name. Since you left, you broke my heart. 'Cause you said we'd never part. Every hour in the day, you can hear me say, baby, won't you please come on home? Thank you. since you left, you broke my heart. 'Cause you said we'd never part. Every hour in the day, you can hear me say, baby, won't you please come along? Daddy needs mama, oh baby. Won't you please come along?